and it still counts zero for Luke Stumpy Williams. This would be the biggest win of his career. He's been riding for 30 years. He's 4 lengths in front. Second placing is Dambula, then Will John. But count zero, he's going to do it. It will be one hell of a wild party, I tell you. He's won the consolation. Now he's won the Hames Paints Jericho Cup. Count zero, you beauty. In a like a Glenbos celebration, Stumpy.
Yeah, loved it. Great call too by Rick McIntosh. And Count Zero calls the upset in yesterday's Jericho, defeating the two Mar and Eustace Train gallopers that were a lot shorter in at the market. And as Rick pointed out in that call, it was the biggest moment in at the saddle for our next guest in Luke Williams. And he joins us now. Luke, welcome to RSN Central and congratulations.
Thank you very kindly for having me.
We'll talk about that race in just a moment, but your story is a story that I think that needs to be told. It's a story that's had its ups and downs, but in the end, you delivered a performance that I think that should inspire a lot of people out there. Let's go back to where it all started. How did you get into the racing game, Luke?
Well, I started my apprenticeship down at Mornington. I've always had a burning love and passion for horses.
Yeah.
Young kid. They were sort of my gateway, sort of away from sort of a, you know, bit of a different sort of a childhood. And so they were a blessing and I just fell in love with horses. And then, well, I was going to Mornington Tech and driving past the stables all the time and ended up going to the stables there. And yeah, just sort of gradually just went into it from there. Was very blessed to have a lot of good bosses as a young kid. Was a bit of a rat bag, I suppose you'd say. So I certainly got transferred a lot from place to place. I think I had about 9 or 10 different bosses in the end by the end of my apprenticeship. But yeah, no, I was very blessed. And I'd like to, he's not with us anymore, but a trainer that I did work for, Jim Marconi, who gave me my very first winner, yeah, recently passed. And I would just like to, yeah, sort of dedicate that race to him because he has a big influence on me as a kid and I'll never forget that. So I feel very blessed to have been able to know and work with Jim.
What did he teach you, Jim?
He taught me how to work harder than, yep, I could ever work before, by example, not by telling me what to do. Yeah, and just really took me in, basically, as a part of the family. And, yeah, looked after me great. It was great. They were great days.
You mentioned that you're a rat bag growing up. Why were you a rat bag, Luke?
Well, it turned later on in life, I've been diagnosed with ADHD and quite a high level of it. And I suppose, I don't know if you know much about that, but
yep,
your mind just always runs fast and you can't really concentrate on one thing and you sort of get a bit hard to focus and all that sort of stuff. So you tend to cause a little bit of trouble, not meaning to. But I was the same at school too. And yeah, just a bit of a rat bag of a kid. It never keep me still, always in trouble, but yeah.
And were the horses, did they help you growing up to keep out of trouble in a way as well?
No, 100%. If I didn't have horses, God knows where I would have ended up. And all the way through my life, with my addiction, and I had to go to jail for a few years there because of my addiction and just making bad choices, so on and so on. The horses never changed how they felt about me. And they were just, they're one of the main reasons that I was able to get clean and sober, because I had always had this to fall back on. I sort of really feel for people out there who have addictions and stuff like that, that don't have a trade, that don't have an escape to be able to escape from the reality of drugs. It's very sad. So I was very blessed that I found my niche at a young age with horses, so that I always had something to turn to that wasn't drugs.
Yeah. So it was a drug addiction that you had, and how old were you when you're out of control in a way, Luke, and how did you get into that situation?
I think it started off as a recreational thing, bit of fun here and there, and then of course then you realise it's a bit of an escape from reality.
Yeah.
And if you don't really like the reality you're living, it's quite a good thing to escape. And then yeah, eventually one day I can remember there for probably 2 years before I went to jail, I don't think there was a day where I didn't have drugs. It's a very sad case, but it's the way it was. So going to jail for me was a people say a wake-up call, but it's not so much a wake-up call, just a chance to get clear vision again and remember what God put me on earth for and what I was here to achieve and not just be a person that sort of didn't have much of a future. So, praise God, I'm a very strong believer in Jesus Christ and I thank him for a lot of my strength and support. And, yeah, through knowing him and going to jail, getting straight, and, yeah, look, if you drew a graph of my life over the last 15 years, it looks like a beautiful plane from right down low to very high, but it's certainly not that. If you look close, it would be a real jagged edge of up and down, up and down. But praise God, always just improving, 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 you know.
So what age were you when you went to jail, and why did you go to jail? Obviously, it was because of the drug addiction, but was that definitely the turning point in your life, or where you thought to yourself, geez, this is, come on, Luke, it's time to straighten up in a way?
No, funnily enough, when I got out of jail, pretty much the first thing I did was go back and get on the drugs.
Yeah.
It wasn't the actual turning point, but it was the point where, I got clear vision.
Yeah.
And then I said, when I got out, I went and fell over again. But because I had that time where I had that clear vision, I was pretty quick to get back up and dust myself off and say, well, what are we doing here? This isn't what we want to be doing.
Yeah. So you can actually, and people say, and it's difficult actually, when you haven't had an addiction or you talk to people with drug addictions, and David Van Dyke's been a wonderful ambassador for this. He was on Michael Felgate's show last week. We interviewed him in depth at the Magic Millions Carnival last year, and his perspective on life is a lot different to others.
Yes.
But when you talk to addicts, and you're always an addict, as David Van Dyke pointed out, because it's a day-to-day proposition that you need to continually work at it. But how do you overcome it, and how do you work at it each day, and how difficult was it to get over it?
Well, I think, like all things, I think time does heal most wounds, and the longer you're away from it, not the easier it gets, but the less you think about it. So it becomes, it's not a daily struggle where every day you're thinking, oh, shit, I wish I was on the gear, or I wish I was doing it. Like, at the start, to me, that's how it sort of was. Whereas now, it's not even a second thought. Of course, I can never say I would ever have drugs again because I do not know what the future holds. But I can say that every day I'm going to be doing my best not to. And it is. It's a day-to-day proposition. Thank God I've got a great support crew around me with my family and friends. And last night, we came home, we had a few drinks. We got horses to work this morning, so it wasn't too big a night. But it was a good night, you know what I mean? Family and friends, we had a few drinks and then went to bed. But, years ago, oh, my God, I would have been up for days.
Yeah.
I'd still be going, you know. I wouldn't have stopped. Praise God, it's a different realm now. And, look, I'm not a young kid anymore. There's no doubt about that. And it's, you know, I'm still blessed that I'm able to do what I love doing. And I think the best is still yet to come. So I've just got to get this weight under control a bit more and, see how we go.
So how long have you been in Warrnambool now for, Luke?
4.5, 5 years. Okay. My little daughter, now Ruby, she is 4.5. And we came down here when my wife, Brooke, was pregnant with her. We had lived here previously 10 years before that for a couple of years. And because when I first got out of jail, I was going to go to Horsham, but I spoke to a very good friend of mine and the head of the Jockey Association, Des O'Keefe, and he suggested that I came up here with a friend of his called Mark Primer, rest in peace as well. I came up here with him and, just started kicking goals, and it's just been a gradual climb upwards from there.
And it sounds like your wife has definitely been a positive influence on you.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's my wife. She deserves the cup and the medals, mate.
Yeah.
That was my shit. I mean, putting up with my stuff.
Yeah.
She deserves a medal, bro. I'm very, very blessed, and I thank God for the wife I have and the family I've got, and yeah.
So how did you get associated with Count Zero and the story behind that?
Well, I've had a pretty long association with Simon Wild.
Yeah.
And I've been doing a couple of horses for him here and there. And he's a man of his word. And if you help him, he's going to help you. And yeah, so I've been helping him out, doing a few here and there, and whenever I can get over there and help him. And praise the Lord, he threw me a bone, and away we went.
Were you confident?
Yes, we both were quietly confident. We had a few in-depth conversations before the race. He wanted to let me know that it wasn't just a ride, and I sort of knew that by watching his replay. And after I walked the track, I knew there were two sections that I could get to and get like 800 metres of good going, and hoping that no one else was aware of it. And it turned out to sort of be that way. So, yeah. I think that made a massive difference in his finish. But, I mean, look, he won well, you know. Full credit to the horse.
Yeah, he never looked like really getting beat when everyone put the hammer down. The race was well and truly on. And you loomed up there and away you went. And you went past the Mar Eustace runners. And you must have been confident after that.
Well, when I went past Jacko, I thought...
What'd you say to Jacko when you went past him?
I didn't say nothing. The road ahead. And I was just, honestly, I thought, wow, I'm a dead set serious chance here. Come on, mate, come on. Yeah. Come on. I have a very poor history with the whip, and I was trying to count. I ended up getting fined anyway. I went over, but I did me, and I'm trying to count, but it's such a long race, and you've got so far to go. And I just thought, don't hit Luke, just push. Oh, yeah, it was a bit of a conversation going on with my own head. Don't worry about that.
Can you remember what you were feeling and what was going through your mind when you, because it, Rick McIntosh called it beautifully, but it was a delayed salute. Did it take you a split second to say, Luke, you just won the Jericho here?
I knew I was probably going to get in trouble for the whip, and I remember Glenn Boss had, if he had two reins on before, past I knew I could do what I wanted, but I had to wait till I got I wasn't paid another fine.
Oh, I love it, mate. You talk about everything that you went through, and you can't say you've defeated the addiction because you're fighting it every day. But the one part about all of that when you're fighting back, and you would have let down a lot of people, I would have imagined, in the racing game especially.
100%. Like, it's been so, and I've been very blessed because God gave me a very special gift with horses.
Yeah.
It's a gift God gave me. It's not something I do. And without that gift, I wouldn't have made it as far as I have, because I've been blessed that people have always been giving me a second and third and fourth chance because of the skill that I have. So that's played a very big part in me to be able to keep going. And, you know, because I see a lot of people go the wayside, and some people don't really give a shit about it. They think, oh, well, they can live their life or whatever. But when you're blessed with a skill or a talent, people help you more. You know, it's a sad thing, but it's true. And because of my natural ability with horses, I was always looked after and nurtured a bit more. And you know, so I've been very blessed, man. Very blessed.
And do you think you're earning that trust back now?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely, yeah.
And what is it with it? Are you a horse whisperer? What is it?
Oh, I think it's just the love I have for them, and I sort of get them. I get them.
How do you get them?
I don't really. I'd love to be able to teach it or that. I don't know. It's just something that God gave me. I think it's the love that I have for them, and I don't know. They must feel it. They're not stupid. They sense what's going on, and I do. I love it. And
you're breaking in a few now. That's your main business, is that right?
Yes, I prefer to call it educating them, but. That's what I love. I love educating babies. That's my, like, every day you see an improvement. You see, it's insane. It's the best. And that's what I do love doing. We're doing a fair bit of pre-training, a bit of educating, and we've got a few of our own racehorses. So, yeah, God is good, man. We're doing really well. And as long as I keep doing what I'm doing and turning up each day, then it'll be intriguing to see where we end up.
We're talking to Luke Williams here, of course. He was aboard Count Zero to win the Jericho yesterday. His biggest race success in 30 years of competing in this wonderful game of thoroughbred racing. And as he's just told us, he's had a lot of ups and downs in his life. But, Luke, what are you dreaming of now, mate? What do you want to achieve?
I would love to achieve to get my weight into a place where I could ride consistently around the 58 mark.
Yep.
I'd like to be riding a few times a fortnight to keep that bit fitter and a bit more of my eye in, and to be able to create more opportunities for myself and find a good horse. I have got a number of good horses that I could be on that I'm not through to weight. But that's just a matter of getting a little bit more dedicated and, you know, having eyes on the prize. So that would be my goal. And then, of course, to have my runners start to go well, which, we just got to be patient. Like I say, just keep turning up. The wheel turns and your turn comes around.
What's the race that you want to win?
Me? Well, I've got a burning passion about the Melbourne Cup. It might sound crazy.
No, you go and do it, mate.
But that's my dream. And, I mean, it's every jockey's dream, of course. But in actual fact, it's not my dream. It's just something I feel God's placed in my heart that could happen. And, you know what, I'll probably be the oldest jockey to ever win it, hopefully. So I'm just going to keep working towards that goal and see what happens.
All right, then. Hey, I'll look forward to following you on that journey. And if that does happen, we'll be making a movie. Don't worry about that, Luke.
That's awesome.
And we'll replay this interview and we can say we told you so.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your message to people out there that are struggling or are fighting addiction at the moment, Luke?
Seriously, the first thing is never give up.
Yeah.
Seek help. There are people that can help. If you go to the first place, it doesn't work. Don't give up. Go to the next place. It took me a long time going through different counsellors, going through different doctors to find the right one for me. So my advice is to never give up. Never give up. If you fall over one morning, get back up. Go again. Don't give up because It will happen. If you don't give up, it'll happen.
All right, then. Hey, well done. Congratulations. You keep on inspiring, and obviously you got some wonderful people around you as well. So keep doing what you're doing and chasing those dreams, and it was great to see you win that Jericho Cup there yesterday. Congratulations, Luke.
Thank you very much, mate. Much appreciated, mate.
There's Luke Williams, the winning rider.